I'm Stu Zimmerman, creator of Inside Wealth. Welcome to the movement that takes your wealth to the next level, beyond the surface of money to the service of money, where you get provocative commentary and lively conversation about inside wealth, right here on Talk 910 KNEW. And now it's time for our Brain Trust segment, and with us today is a very valued member of our Brain Trust. Of course, they all are. Kevin Grauman, who, one, he's a deep, close, personal friend. Two, an incredible entrepreneur who led a company to be the fastest-growing company by Inc. magazine, Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. He's founded, built, and sold multiple businesses, and he's got one coming up. It's going to be the next greatest thing in human resource software. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now until we're ready for prime time there, but we're very much ready for Kevin Grauman right here. Kevin, welcome back to Inside Wealth.
Hi, Stu.
Hi there. So you were our ambassador, eyes and ears at this TED conference, the Technology, Entertainment, and Design Conference, with the who's who of corporate and entertainment internationally, frankly. Some of the brilliant minds of the world were all there. And what went on there?
Well, I was a virgin this year. It was my first attempt at participating. And I, to my brain still hurts, actually. It's one of the most remarkable experiences I've ever had.
Were they rough with you?
No, in all seriousness, it was a gathering of individuals who the sole purpose of which is to learn and be educated. And while a lot of the presenters at the show, there were probably about 50 or 60 of those presenters, each one had a significant topic to share, but very eclectic mix of focus. And, you know, at the end of the day, which was from about 7 a.m. in the morning till 11:30 at night, nonstop, it was remarkable. So, I don't even know where to begin, but I can tell you a couple of snippets that were take-homes for me.
Yeah, please.
Interestingly, the presenters had one of two focuses, either a small idea becoming very big, or a large idea becoming absolutely massive. And I'll tell you what I mean. A small idea becoming big, just a couple of examples. A gentleman called Dave Eggers, who began in San Francisco and is now national, developing and deploying these mentoring facilities for kids in underprivileged societies that are after school. And these are one-on-one tutoring, mentoring environments where the kids are safe and very impactful on them. Well, it's been such a success that I think he's up to about 15 or 16 of these things nationally, each one in a different city. But small ideas started really at the back of a coffee shop and became this huge entity in terms of impact. And the other one was a guy who I'd never heard of, Dr. Neil Turok, T-U-R-O-K. He's a physicist out of Cambridge who grew up in Africa. And because of his influence in the mathematics and physics world, he decided that the only way for Africa to kind of elevate itself up into the world arena would be to get with it on the education side. So he started an institute down in Cape Town in South Africa, called the African Institute of Mathematical Sciences. And the idea was to find African kids who had a thirst for mathematical and physical interest and to teach them at a very advanced level. Well, fast forward about 5 years, and they're producing one of the best groups of physics students, and these are honors, masters, and PhDs in mathematics and physics in the world. And his idea, which started small, is to really propagate this whole thing throughout Africa. So that was literally, in total time, that was probably a half an hour out of 4 days, just those two segments of ideas. Remarkable stuff.
It really is, Kevin. In fact, one of the things that I find remarkable about the fact that TED even exists in the first place, because correct me if I'm wrong, for the most part, first of all, it's a high price tag to get in.
Right.
Which is a huge barrier to entry for most people. Secondly, it's by invitation, correct?
That's correct.
Oh, that also limits the field. And third, the people who do attend, by and large, are millionaires, multimillionaires, in some cases billionaires, and yet they're showing up with an open mind there specifically to learn. So even though they've received and have all this money, accomplishment, achievement, and potential ego about that, which could easily be the case when one achieves a certain level of financial wealth, these people are showing up humble with an open mind.
Well, the kind of the underlying message that everybody was communicating there, participants as well as speakers, was that it's time for those who are privileged to give back. And how do you do that? So, you know, there was an undertow of that kind of dynamic throughout the conference. You know, just as an example, this guy, Neil Turek, I just mentioned, because of how successful he's become in just the small arena on a national level, or even an international level, he's got people like Stephen Hawking, who's the the world-renowned theoretical physicist.
Yes.
Also at Cambridge University. They're very close associates there in France. And then he's got a couple of Nobel Prize winners, David Gross and George Smoot, as well as a NASA administrator, a guy called Michael Griffin. All of those guys are going down to South Africa to basically spread the word. How you get that level of influence can only happen at a conference like this one, where people have no agenda and they really are out for making the planet better.
So I'm coming away from all of this with a real a sense of optimism.
Very much so.
Because so many people look at the us and them, and some of the them out there are all those people who have a lot more money than we do. And those are the rich, and those are the jerks, and those are whoever they are who control the purse strings to everybody else's detriment. And
right.
What you're sharing with us is that some of the best and brightest minds and the deepest pockets are dedicated to seeing how they can share their wealth.
Well, it's not necessarily deepest pockets. It's ones with most influence.
Mm.
So, you know, an example, I mentioned initially that small ideas becoming bigger. Large ideas as well were tabled, which are massive ideas, and if they really come to fruition, will change the planet. You know, there was a woman called Karen Armstrong, who's a British, I would say, historian of religion is her classification. She used to be a Catholic nun, and she gave up the nunnery and kind of went into...
You mean she kicked the habit?
She kicked the habit.
I couldn't help it.
But her wish and her goal and what she's embarking on is to unite the three major religions of the world. Not a small task in today's world, but we're talking about Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And she's very well connected through the United Nations and through her various religious affiliations, and is making a huge difference. And ideally, it's a coming together of these three religious groups, which arguably constitute virtually all of the planet.
Well, let's put it this way. It would certainly be a great start.
Right.
Then we could talk to the Hindus, the Buddhists, and all the people who don't identify with any religion.
Right. So, you know, you get those kinds of thinkers, and boy, that's heady stuff too. But it's all spheres of influence. You know, she's connected to some world leaders in that realm. And then you get someone else who, on a complete flip of ideas, is a gentleman who's an academician, biologist, who decided that in his lifetime, his legacy should be to create an encyclopedia of life. In other words, he wants to categorize and make available to the world every living organism that existed, currently exists, and will be existing in the future, and to chronicle this on the web using the latest technologies. Also, not a small idea, but huge in impact and the ability to educate the world. They've embarked, they're about a year into that, and I tell you something, it's very exciting to see. Anyway, my head is still hurting.
Yeah, and I hope everybody out there was able to take some of this in, because it's easy for all of our heads to hurt when we are talking about ideas, any one of which that will literally change the entire face of this planet. And what the good news about all of it is, there are a lot of great minds out there whose heads aren't hurting about this, who are actually focusing on it. And Kevin, thank you so much for sharing some of them.
It's a pleasure, Stu. I could go on all day, but boy, it's wonderful stuff.
So this is an opportunity now where a rubber can hit the road for you. because as we're talking about the inside wealth, whether it's Kevin Grahman, we're talking about amazing people still have an open mind, still having knowing that there's so much they don't know, and having a willingness to learn, to round out their lives, and wanting to do good in the world. And to Matt Emmons, the CEO of Shire Pharmaceuticals, who wrote a great book called Zenobia. You know, these are people where rubber hits the road. So where can it hit the road for you? Come to our website at insidewealth.net and meet our referral network members, because they take this philosophy of how can I be of great service? How can I be transparent and communicate and dedicate to a long-term relationship? Because we all know that money flows through a relationship. You know, none of us make money in a vacuum, not even Hoover. So these people, for example, John Menke at Menke Associates with an ESOP administration, can take your company and have everybody own a piece of the pie if they don't already, in ways that can expand the pie dramatically. That's one way in which the rubber can hit the road. Another way is through Hutch Ashew at Pillar Financial. They're private wealth managers where they really take into account your dreams and have the money work for you, even as you work for the money every now and then. Or perhaps you have a major change in your life, retirement, divorce, whatever is going on, the kids are out of the house, what have you. He is somebody who does not fit you into a pie chart. He is somebody who takes into account who you are as human beings, what it is you want to achieve in your life, and helps to arrange your finances in a way to make all that happen. Great listener, great guy. Just as an example, come to insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net. So you can be living this with other people as well. It's not just about us all being out there alone. The good news is, either way, we are not. There are so many people out there. This world is a-changing. Can't you feel it? You know, so much is going on. Not all of it feels so comfortable or great. You read the headlines with all the mortgage issues and the house prices going down and the contraction in the economy as a result, and all the write-offs that some of the brokerage firms are taking and everything else, and the dollar declining and the oil prices going up. And there's a lot of opportunity to go to a place of fear. And Matt Emmons, the CEO of Shire Pharmaceuticals, is creating a culture of fearlessness. And oh, by the way, it seems to be working since he took over. The company's stock has tripled in the last 5 years. How many of us can claim to have a portfolio that did the same thing? I'm not raising my hand. I haven't been there, so he's outperforming me. That's for darn sure. So the kind of things that he was talking about, we need to take note of, because as he applies them in the real world, in a real company, he's having real success. This is not just a wishful thought anymore. It is about making the best opportunity of what change has to offer. So it is up for us to take our sense of imagination and take a look at what can be and have an open mind like all those Tedsters out there. No matter how many millions of dollars they have in their pocket, they still have an open mind and to learning more and to doing more and to being of service to humanity. You know, which is frankly what Shire Pharmaceuticals is all about. I mean, they are here to improve the quality of life. So when you take a look at your own lives, you know, and how can you apply that sense of fearlessness? How can you go beyond and have that sense of yielding nothing, even in the face of people who are, you know, self-absorbed or you know, naysayers or killjoys or whatever else? You know, people who can't get beyond themselves. And I'm telling you, I know for personal experience, as I am certainly God and a number of other people here on this ground as my witness, it's amazing what happens when we focus on how we can be of greatest service and how we can care for each other as a truly authentic approach. It's amazing how disarming it is. It's amazing how different it is from business as usual. And it's amazing how many people are willing to say yes and show up in all sorts of incredible ways. I highly invite you to read this book, Zenobia. Go to Amazon, come to our website, find the link. Truly, it's a fast read, great fable, great story, and really underscores how we can live a life absent of fear, a life of fearlessness, a life of an open mind, an incredible imagination for what our world can be, and not just settle for the way it is. Until next week, invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at InsideWealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW.